This is the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. Father Ward is planning on speaking today at 11:15 in the chapel right here after this 10 a.m. Mass. It will be broadcast on the live stream, so those who attend the earlier Masses may view it on our website. So if you would please just remain after Mass, and Father will come in to speak to everyone. Thank you to those who assisted us in mowing the landscape yesterday. We are grateful for your efforts to keep it beautiful, and it is beautiful around the chapel. The feast days this week, today is the feast of St. Alphonsus Liguori. Tuesday is the feast of St. Dominic. Wednesday is the feast of the dedication of the Church of Our Lady of Snows. Thursday, the feast of the Transfiguration of Our Lord. Friday is the feast of St. Cajetan, and Saturday is the feast of St. John Vianney. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle, first epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, these things came to pass as examples to us, that we should not lust after evil things, even as they lusted, and do not become idolaters, even as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, even as some of them committed fornication, and there fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted and perished at the serpents. Neither murmur, as some of them murmured and perished at the hands of the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as a type, and they were written for our correction, upon whom the final age of the world has come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. May no temptation take hold of you but such as man is equal to. God is faithful and will not permit you to be tempted beyond your strength, but with the temptation will also give you a way out, that you may be able to bear it. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 19, verses 41 to 47. At that time, when Jesus drew near to Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known in this thy day, even thou, the things that are for thy peace, but now they are hidden from thy eyes. For days will come upon thee when thy enemies will throw up a rampart about thee, and surround thee and shut thee in on every side, and will dash thee to the ground, and thy children within thee, and will not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou hast not known the time of thy visitation. And he entered the temple and began to cast out those who were selling and buying in it, saying to them, It is written, My house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. You may remain standing for the Creed. May God bless you.
Well, hello, everyone. And greetings to all those who are watching me through the internet. The internet, hello to all of you, too. I wanted to tell you something. Of course, it's the ninth Sunday after Pentecost, and there are lots of things to tell you. And I'm not going to say anything about that, unfortunately. Assisting at Mass these last few weeks has been a very great trial for me. But I can tell you this, as I mentioned to the brothers especially here, more than ever did it come home to me how theocentric the Holy Mass really is, and how harmful and how erroneous and how dangerous are the views of the progressivists, the modernists, when they emphasize the communal aspect of the Holy Mass, of how, and how it is designed for the welfare of the people, and so on and so forth. And in fact, brethren, it's the opposite. Because from the beginning of the Holy Mass to the end, it's all about God. It's all about Almighty God and about our worship to Him, our love of Him, our participation, our sharing in the sacrificial acts of our Lord and Savior and how much we are a part of it. And how beautiful it is. Extraordinarily beautiful to be a part of the salvation of the world, of the welfare of all men, and how much it is an expression of our love of Almighty God and our love of Him and our of our union with Him and of our God's desire to be close to us. And when you receive Holy Communion, you are truly made a part of the act of redemption. It becomes yours. It is, in fact, the sharing of worship that our Divine Savior has given to His Father in heaven. And how our Father in heaven makes us share in what belongs to Him. Most of all, His Son and His humanity. And then He gives us a portion of that sharing to us, to unite us to Him. I thought to myself, as I witnessed the sacrificial acts of the Holy Mass, how much a part of the love of God and of the worship of God we are, and how important it is, and how mistaken people are when they say, I don't get anything out of it. Just a great mistake, because it is all about what we give, what we do, how we express ourselves and surrender ourselves to the worship of our Father in heaven through and with His Divine Son who came down to earth for us, but first to express His love and His surrender to our Father in heaven. And that to me meant a great deal. And even though it doesn't supplant my desire to offer the Mass myself, in fact it increases my desire, it was made home to me so much, I think by God's design. And I want to share that with you, that part of the priestly work that is so little thought of in this primacy of the aspect of the Mass that benefits us. Yes, it does benefit us, but only because it is the gift of God to us. The whole Mass is about Almighty God and what we do for Him and in Him, through Him, as the Paripsum says at the Holy Mass. I want to share that with you. And secondly, today is the feast of a great saint and founder of one of the greatest religious congregations of the Church. It is the feast day today of St. Alphonsus Mary de Liguori. He was a priest, and at the end of his life, he was an old man, and he was made a bishop, much to his refusal, but the Pope forced him to be Bishop of the Diocese of St. Mary of the Goths. That's the name of the diocese in Italy. He is considered, and I want you to know this too, the greatest moral theologian of the church. He founded the school of what we call probabilism. It had become so popular and so much approved and in use by every priest that priests who don't follow that school are considered wayward in the confessional. Now, I am not going to explain to you what that school teaches, but there are multiple schools of moral theology in the church that are approved. But this one of St. Alphonsus is the one that is the greatest and most used and most popular. And that's the one I was trained in myself, the school of probabilism. He founded the congregation of the Most Holy Redeemer called the Redemptorists. And they were founded by this priest, St. Alphonsus, after having become a priest, contrary to the approval of his father. Because St. Alphonsus, as a young man, was very intelligent and very capable, and as well, a lawyer. And it was his father's desire that his son, Alphonsus, would become a great advocate himself and follow in his footsteps. And St. Alphonsus refused and pursued the priesthood. It was only after his ordination, still the object of condemnation by his father, that once his father heard his son preach for the first time, that he came to his son and fell on his knees and asked for forgiveness. He was so taken by the words of his son as a priest. That's St. Alphonsus. He founded this congregation called the Redemptorists. Its end, its goal, if you like, its main apostolate, is to preach the gospel, to offer the Holy Mass to the most poor and neglected of souls throughout the world, to the souls that no one was interested in, to the unwanted, unloved, to the alienated. And the Redemptorists, at least when I was a boy, were so popular that everyone went to confession to a Redemptorist, if there was one in nearby, because of their gentleness, their compassion, their zeal, their understanding in the confessional. And they are also foreign missionaries as well among them, to preach and to convert souls among the most destitute. That's the goal of the Redemptorist congregation, the congregation of the Most Holy Redeemer. The miracles around St. Alphonsus, because of his life, are innumerable. And in fact, many saints came from his congregation. One of the most astounding, one of the most, well, amazing of saints was a Redemptorist brother named St. Gerard Majella. And while I cannot tell you his story, please believe me when I tell you that what came from this one saint as a brother are episodes that are almost unbelievable. St. Alphonsus says, well, who had the gift of bilocation. He was known to be sitting and then at the deathbed of the Pope at the same time. He was just an amazing, amazing saint. And his love of the Virgin Mary was incomparable. It is through his congregation that we are given the great icon and the only icon of the Western Church, our Mother of Perpetual Help. They have custody of the original icon, and if you go to Rome, you can see it. St. Alphonsus and our Mother of Perpetual Help. And in fact, it is said that one time when he was preaching, his face became transfigured, illuminated from a shaft of light that came from this image, as if she was instructing him as to what to say to the people. That's St. Alphonsus. It's just one example of the great power and influence, holiness of this one man, St. Alphonsus Mary de Liguori. Well, I tell you this because if you have any doubts, any fears, any anxieties that you don't know what to do with, that haunt you, that bother you, that come back periodically, go to St. Alphonsus, because he will pray for you, intercede for you. St. Alphonsus de Liguori. He wrote numerous books. The Glories of Mary is one. He wrote books on the life of Christ. It's hard to believe that a man who has accomplished so much has at the same time written so much. And in fact, his tomes, and I say that because I've seen them, they're huge. Just on moral theology alone. Well, I mean, I couldn't believe it. St. Alphonsus, I mean, his insights into moral cases, sometimes very subtle, very difficult. And he saw it all. And that's why he is considered by the church chief moralists of all the moral theologians of the church. And I can give you a list of many of them who have great reputations, but none compare to the moral theology in his school. None compare to that of St. Alphonsus de Liguori. So I say this to you to give you some little, maybe, encouragement, maybe a little bit of access to a saint that is little known. See, except his name. Of course, his name is very popular among Catholics. But they haven't got a clue as to his greatness and how many people depend upon him and how much he has accomplished and help people even to this day. So pray to St. Alphonsus, will you? And also, as I say, thank you very much for, and I really mean that, thank you for your prayers and cards. And can I tell you, sometimes, you know, I even got a card from our cleaning crew, the people that come in and clean our house, particularly on the ground floor. You know, how many people, and there's a bunch of them, and they wrote me two cards wishing me well. First before the surgery, and then after I got another card from them, and all wrote a personal note. And many of you have done the same. And you know that means more to me than the card itself. When you write a little note, maybe just two or three words, that tell me something of your union of heart to my heart. That means a great deal to me. Anyway, I say thank you again for all your kindness and concern and help by your sacrifices and prayers and offerings of yourself for my benefit. And I can tell you that the great success that I enjoy and enjoyed in that surgery is due largely to you. And I mean it. I truly mean it. All right? Well, Let's see. I guess I've talked almost enough as I would have if I were offering the Mass, didn't I? Well, in any case, thank you again. Huh? And I thank all those people who I cannot see, but who are watching me. And I did this to show you not only myself and so on, but to show that I am really not live, but alive. And that I'm doing very, very well. I just need a little more time to work up those muscles. I woke up one morning and I discovered my hand and arm were just back. And in fact, you know, they ask you in the hospital these constant questions. What is your name? This is every time. What is your name? What's your birthday? What's today's date? Where are you? Why are you here? It's because they want to make sure I'm still, you know, compos mentis, you know. And I got kind of annoyed with these similar questions every time. But in any case, they ask you those questions, and anyway. But in any case, thanks again. And I assure you that I keep you all in my heart, in my prayers, in my petitions for your happiness and good health and well-being. We've been together, haven't we, for many years. Many years. We've been through a lot together, haven't we? And even though I have led, at least tried to lead you, it's now my turn to be helped, isn't it? So I expect that you will continue to help me by your prayers and good works and good wishes. Huh? All right. Benedictio Dei omnipotentes, Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendat super vos, emaniat semper. Amen. And you know, there was a day I couldn't do that with my hand. There was a day I couldn't do that. But I can do it now. All right. Bye-bye. Oh, let me ask you this. Even though the Blessed Sacrament, I said I would do this. Even though the Blessed Sacrament is here, we can just, even though the Blessed Sacrament is here, I don't think we're going to create a din, but does anybody have any remarks or questions or comments or anything? No? Okay. In any case, bye-bye.